Wednesday afternoon, ladies, Chayvus Halvavus Shir. We're starting a new series, Shara Bitochon. It's Pesach Sheni, Tov Shinayim Gimel, Yud Dalet Iyar. And we're starting the first year in a few moments. A new series, Shara Bitochon. We'll call it Shara Bitochon, Tov Shinayim Gimel. Okay, so I have a request. Who said uh-oh? This is Zabrowski. She's allowed. I ran a koil in Muncie for a number of years. So then there would always be this question, what should we learn next month? Which Gemara? So everybody would say, oh, we don't care. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, what's the difference? So I'd pick one, and then, no! No, we don't want to learn that. That's not a good thing to learn. So we voted for Shara Bitachon. So when we started, please don't do that to me. Don't say, no, we don't want to. They voted that they don't care. But then the moment you pick, my children are the same way. Okay. So, Be'ezus Hashem, Ustani Shara Bitachon, the fourth Shara. It's a natural flow from the first three. The first one, of course, is Shar HaYichud. Chavitolovus writes that he writes the Sefer as a building. The foundation, of course, is Shar HaYichud. If you're not convinced that everything flows from Hashem and Hashem Echad, then there's really no point going further. The second Shar is Shar HaBechina, and that's really very special Chavis Halvodas. That's where the Chavis Halvodas makes his mark. Shar HaYichud, he writes, you have Amunas V'deos, and not everybody's going to understand Shar HaYichud, and it's, you get a headache from it, and it's philosophical. The Chavis Halvodas is Chiddush, I would say, in Shar HaYichud, more than Amunas V'deos of Rav Sadia Gaon, was his defining and specifying what Hashem Echad means. That's why I spend so much time on it, because Chavis Halvodas makes a very big issue of Hashem Echad, what it means. And then, but then the Chavis Halvodas really makes his mark and becomes famous, so to speak, in Shar HaBechina, because in Shar HaBechina he sets down that it's the second Shar. The most important thing after believing in Hashem is to feel gratitude to Hashem, to be aware of all the tova that Hashem constantly does, how beholden we are to Him, how this world is an amazing, amazing, amazing world full of tova for Bnei Adam. We think we missed the bus, so like, my life is ruined. I missed the bus, so I missed the dentist appointment. So now what am I going to do? And like, we're miserable, and we snap at our children, and we snap at our spouses, at least I do, I don't know about you. And we're upset, and we don't even know why we're depressed, and it's because, and like, Chavis Halvodas wants us to stop and say, wait a second, my nose is working. Right? We laugh, but that's what he wants us to do. Everything in my body is working, and the sky, and the oxygen, and the wind, and the rain cycle, etc., etc., etc. That's second. And that's the Yesod. And throughout the Sefer, the Chavis Halvodas makes reference to our Avodas Hashem is to acknowledge and appreciate what Hashem does for us. And it's a way of seeing Hashem. Because Shara Yichud is too hard for most people, he says. So just look at the Bria. Examine. And we can do it better than he did it, because we have much more tools at our disposal. Just look at any molecular structure of anything, a leaf on a tree, anything, and you'll see Hashem. The next Shara is Shara Avodas Elokim, because, okay, that's great, but now what? Does that obligate me to do anything, or is it just a nice piece of information? I'll file it away in my folder, and I'll go my merry way, and I'll... No, why does that obligate? What does that obligate me to do anything? And he discusses in very very with a lot of clarity why we have to serve Hashem. Which, what do you mean? Why? Because Hashem's Hashem. That's not good enough for the Chayim Avodas. And we explained when we learned Shara Avodas Elokim that he wants an Avodas Elokim that comes from within, not that's imposed from without. Even if the imposition from without is Hashem, and it's Avinu, and Malkeinu, and Gehenim, and Gan Eden, or he structures the Avodas Elokim following on the heels of Shara HaBechina, which follows on the heels of Shara Yichud. You want to do that. You want to say thank you. Just like if someone saves your life or saves your child's life, you want to say thank you, and you feel a debt of gratitude, and you're not comfortable, and you can't sleep at night till you figure out people put you up for Pesach, right? And we lose sleep because what am I going to get for them? How am I going to show my thanks? I get them a set of dishes. It's not really enough. They put me up for 8 days, 7 days. They died with my children even. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And that's a joke compared to what Hashem does for us. After we finish learning Shara HaBechina, which we'll do one Sunday, a couple of years, but we'll do it. We'll get there, Be'ezus Hashem. And so it's a joke, right? If you go crazy thinking of what present to buy from someone that put you up for Shabbos or for Pesach or for 2 weeks when you were, you visited. So what Hashem does for us is Einan Achrum Aspikim. Hold the Sluchah Hashem Elokim Elokeivos Einu Al Achas. May Elef Alfei Yalav Mimberibay Yervovos Pamim Atavos Shalasisim Avoseinu V'imono. Because we can't just thank Hashem for what He does for us. We have to thank Hashem that He gave the Torah to our forefathers, and therefore we have the Torah. Like, so Ein Sof. And then he goes through Shara Avodas Elokim, a very modern approach, right? We learned Shara Avodas Elokim. He talks about the rituals of Judaism versus the spirit of Judaism and the values. And he says it's no contest, although the rituals are essential. But the main thing in Yiddishkeit is the Chovos Halvavos, is what values the mitzvahs are teaching us, and we have to do the mitzvahs with that in mind. Okay, that's Shara Avodas Elokim, back and forth and forth and back. Then comes Shara Bitachon. Why? Why is Shara Bitachon next? Amar HaMechaber, Mipnei Shekodah Ma'amoreinu B'chiyav Kabbalas Avodas Elokim, because I just finished explaining the whys and hows and in what way and how come we have to serve Hashem. And really, I have to say it again, although this is approach to Avodas Elokim is, I would call it a very modern approach. It's a very to the modern man, I think, to us, it really speaks. It's like a modern sefer, because it doesn't, it has to come from within us, and that's something that speaks to us nowadays, where we say you can't really impose anything on people, where we're freedom, right? It's freedom. He says if you're aware, you can't shut your eyes to the truth, but if you're aware of the truth, meaning you learn Shara HaBechina, then you want to serve Hashem. But I don't believe in Hashem. Okay, so you got to go back to Shara Yichud. If you don't believe, you got to go back to Shara Yichud. But if you believe in Hashem and then you did Shara HaBechina, you should be bursting with you want to say thank you. And Shara Avodas Elokim teaches us how to channel the thank you. But it's important to the Chovos Halvavos that Avodas Elokim be, I would call it even spontaneous. It should come from within. I want to do this. Don't impose it me b'chutz. Now, sometimes we do have to impose it me b'chutz. We don't raise our children and say, pick whatever religion you want, Yossel. It's fine. It's not fine because there's a red line, right? There's a red line. But the Chovos Halvavos keeps saying how that if we just do the red line and we don't do averus and we go through the rituals of Yiddishkeit, it's pathetic, really. He talks very strongly throughout Shara Avodas Elokim. It's almost pathetic. You're missing the whole point. Like we say in Avodat Zion, Laman lo nigal orik v'lo neled behalah. So you'll get your Gan Eden and you'll get your Schar, but it's like such a pity to go through life and not feel the right way that you're supposed to feel. So, Amar HaMachaber, Meshakodama Amarenu, because we just finished the Chiyuv Kabbalah Savodas Elokim, explaining the ins and outs of I'm going to serve Hashem, and again, his vision of serving Hashem doesn't need anything. Serving Hashem means acknowledging Hashem, praising Hashem, thanking Hashem, feeling grateful to Hashem. That's what it's all about. And every mitzvah we do is an opportunity to say thank you. And the mitzvah is lacking if we don't feel that. But it's an avodah. I'm not going to walk out of here and start feeling that way. It's something to work on. And you can't work on it unless you do Shaar HaBechina. Like I said, it's a building. If you didn't do Shaar HaBechina, if you say, what do I have to thank Hashem for? I'm overdrawn in the bank. A guy in the shul came over to me once. He said, you know, you're always talking about thanking Hashem. The dollar went down to 3.4. Like, what, thank Hashem. Meanwhile, he's breathing and he's and he's like, why should I thank Hashem? It's 3.4. So if you don't, that's the pshat, it's a building. If you don't do Shaar HaBechina, you're going to have trouble with Shaar HaBodes Elokim. And that is, Chavir Lovitz holds, and he's not ashamed to say it. He says, Gedolim and Tamid Chachomim and very big tzaddikim and good people, they never thought about thanking Hashem for their nose, and thanking Hashem for color, and thanking Hashem for taste, and thanking Hashem for, and that's just biology, right? Talks, there's so many other things to delve into. There's the whole world. So what's going to be next? We have Shaar HaYichud, because without that you don't start. We have Shaar HaBechina, because according to the Chovetz Chabad, without that you can't start. Without that feeling of gratitude and appreciation. And that brings you to Shaar HaVodes Elokim, because that's your thank you. And your life is made up of one big thank you to Hashem. Which is not... If that's imposed because Rabbi Malinowitz said so and the Chavetz Chabad says so, that's no good. You have to feel grateful. Now you feel grateful. Now, you also say thank you to Aunt Mary who gave you this present. Thank you, Aunt Mary. Right? There's no point to that. You have to feel grateful. So what's next? Next is Mashehu Tzorech Yoyser Mikol HaDvorim La'Oved Elokim Yisparach. The most necessary midah that an Oved Elokim will need. What's the most necessary? V'hu HaBitochon Olav B'chol Dvorav. Developing Bitochon in Hashem is the most necessary attribute if you want the meaning, if you want to serve Hashem and you're there. Shaar HaYichud, Shaar HaBechina, Shaar HaVodes Elokim. You're rearing to go. You're chopping at the bit. You're not going to do a good job. You're going to mess up if you don't have bitachon. There's just too many things out there that are going to pull you away from your ability to serve Hashem. So I have to write Shaar HaBitochon next because it's the most Tzorech Yoser Mikol HaDvarim. You need it more than Shaar Yichud HaMaisa. And you need it more than Shaar HaKaniya, humbling yourself before Hashem. And you need it more than Shaar HaPerishus, getting away from Olam HaZeh. And you need it more than Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh. The most necessary thing is to develop Bitachon. Bavur, because, well, Chavilov doesn't just make statements. He proves, he shows everything he says. Bavur, Sheyesh Bo Min HaToalios HaGadolos, B'inyan HaTorah U'B'inyan HaOlam. Because it has such a wide range of benefits. It changes your life. It's totally transformative. It changes your life in Ruchnius, Binyan HaTorah, Ubinyan HaOlam, and in Gashmius. It's just you're living in a different world. Two people can be living the same, and in one Perek in Shaar HaBitochon later on, I think it's Perek Vav, he gives us a picture of two people who have the same, they get up at the same time, and they go to work at the same time, and they dive in at the same time, and they have the same hours of work, and they spend the same time doing mitzvahs, and the same time davening, and the same time working, and the same time relaxing, and they're two people, if you took a video with no sound, you look two people with the same lives. And one is miserable, and pessimistic, and doesn't enjoy his life, And he's miserable, stressed, angry, upset, miserable person. And the other person is chilled and happy and optimistic and enjoys life. And it's just totally transformative. And you can't serve Hashem if you're miserable. And you can't serve Hashem if you're stressed. And you can't serve Hashem if you're worried. And you can't serve Hashem if you're negative. It's not going to go. Yeah, and remember, you might be able to do, you'll eke out the rituals. You know, you'll mumble the bracha, because you're not going to eat without a bracha. But there'll be no joy in it. And you'll forget to make a bracha, or you'll mumble the bracha, and like, there's no joy in your life. And you won't attempt to be creative, you won't attempt to do things. The Baal Bitachon, he explains in Perek Vav, is an optimistic, creative person who tries things, who's always pushing and trying, and is not afraid of failure because of the things we'll be learning. And is optimistic, creative, happy, joyful, enjoys everything life has to offer, doesn't get down when the dollar goes down to 3.4, and handles all things in life. So that's why I have to write Bitachon next, because out of everything you can think of, remember, he's including Avas Hashem, and Yiras Hashem, and Frumkeit, and all the things that you can think of, and conquering the Yetzirah, which he spends a lot of time on, and Shari Yichud HaMaiser, right? Remember good old Perek Hay? Right? And nothing. Bitachon is first. You need Bitachon the most, because it has it's a wide-ranging benefits, both in Olam Hazeh, in Olam Haba, and in Olam Hazeh. And it just transforms everything, every moment of your life. Before we start, unless it's called we started already, At this point, I immediately want to define Bitachon. Because the Chavis of Lovus never really defines Bitachon, although in Perek Aleph he says he's going to define it, but he doesn't define it in the dictionary sense. What does it mean? He defines it in the sense of like what you do. But I want to define it in the dictionary sense, because there's a lot of different definitions of bitachon. Trust, reliance, hope, anticipating, trusting Hashem. Like, it's all. So I want to say what I think it is, and it's for better or for worse, it's my opinion. I think it fits with the whole Chavis Halvavos. I'm not saying it's the only pshat. Some say that Chazon Ish had a different take on it, and some say others had different takes on it. I don't know if it's a stira, but I want to define the word. Remember, the Chavis Halvavos didn't find the need to define the word, because who knew it was a problem? He said, he wrote it in Arabic, he used whatever word he used, right? And we call that word bitachon. So, but we have to define it, right? If you don't define it, then you're not really sure what it means. So I want to start by defining it, and I want to request that you think about it, because it's going to sound like I didn't say anything. It's just a word, but I urge you to realize the implications and ramifications of what I'm saying. The word I want to use the most is to rely on Hashem, but not passive. It's not a passive verb. It doesn't mean sit back in your chair and rely on Hashem. It's an active verb, and it's something we have to train ourselves to do, because as the Chavis Halvavos himself will point out shortly, as we go through life, we're always relying on something. When I cross the street, I'm relying maybe that the car will stop at a stop sign or at a crosswalk. I'm relying that the driver is not drunk. I'm relying that the person that made the car made it properly so that the wheel's not going to fall off and the car, right? Every time I do anything, I go to the bank, I'm relying that the bank's open and that the ATM's working. Well, maybe that's like a nace, I don't know. But everything we do, the Chavis Halvavos wants us to realize, is done with assumptions of reliance. Nobody would walk across the street if they wouldn't be relying that the makolet guy got here safely and opened the makolet and the delivery truck from Tanuva came the way he was supposed to, right? I'm always relying on something. Bitocho means to train ourselves. That's what I mean. It's an avoda, because we don't naturally do it, because we live in a world of cause and effects. And if I say I'm going to the store, and I'm going to the store because I'm assuming there's milk there, fresh milk that was delivered today, and I'm relying on, let's say, a rough estimate of 100 people from the cow to the makolet in the bag, so I'm relying that 100 people did what they were supposed to do. Chavir Lover says, you have to train yourself, and this changes your whole life. No. I'm relying on Hashem. Each of those 100 people were the channels through which Hashem channeled his will. Hashem wanted there to be milk in the store this morning. Hashem wanted me to have milk. So I'm relying on Hashem that there's milk there. I'm not relying on the Tanuva driver. I'm not relying on the manufacturer of the truck. I'm relying on Hashem that everything happened. Most of the time, it's that everything happened the way it was supposed to happen. But if you, and it's an avoda. It's an avoda. It takes work to train ourselves. I'm not relying on the driver. I'm not relying on my rich uncle. I'm not relying on the protector. I'm not relying on my boss to give me the check that he gives me every week, a salary check. I'm not relying on him. Not really. I'm relying on Hashem, because Hashem wants me to have that money. So Hashem works everything out. And he works it out in a, he doesn't, right? There's no Santa Claus coming down the chimney with a bag of money. He works it out that my boss has enough money to pay me, because he wants me to have that money. But the training is to rely on Hashem. And now when you start, things start happening in life, or you're getting nervous or worried, because the person you're relying on, oh, I don't want him to get angry at me, and maybe I have to be machnif him a little, and maybe I have to cut some corners, and maybe I have to do this, and maybe I have to talk lashon hara just a little, because my boss like sort of expects it, you know, and I don't want him to get angry at me because he's giving me my wait a second, you're relying on Hashem for your parnasa, not your boss. And Hashem says no lashon hara, right? And you don't, the whole mindset is different, and it has ramifications in everything in life. We go crazy, is my kid going to get into the school? Am I going to do a shidduch? Is my daughter going to do a shidduch? And because I'm relying on people, I'm relying on the shadchan, I'm relying on our reputation, I'm relying on Hashem. And Hashem, there's a very important Malbim. Again, you're going to say, well, you're not talking to children, but I want you to remember this Malbim for the rest of your life. It's like, it's simple, but it's beautiful and it's important. Malbim says, let's say I could pick up a 5-pound package and a 10-pound package. Very nice, I could do both. But a person, I'm exerting more koach to pick up the 10-pound package. It cost me more. Cost me more koach. I have to exert myself more to pick up a 10-pound package than a 5-pound package. With Hashem, there's no such thing. He's not exerting himself more. Okay, Hashem, you know, I want to make things easier for you, so I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that, because Hashem, we don't verbalize this, but I want to make your life easier, Hashem. There's no 5-pound package, 10-pound package. It's all right. It's all the same. Hashem doesn't expend any kochos. Hashem, by yomer lekim yihyor, by hiyor. Right? It's all just His will. So there's a malbim in Nach. There's no v'chiyad Hashem kotzod melohoshia barav o b'ma'at, says the malbim. That's what Yohonasan said to his arms bearer when they went against the Machne Pelishtim, two people against the whole army. So the Malbim, it doesn't mean Hashem could beat the Rav just like he could beat the Ma'at. It means something deeper. He means there's no difference between Rav and Ma'at. He's not expending any more, he's not expending any more kolchos, chas v'shalom, between Rav and Ma'at. It's all the same. So just leave things up to Hashem. Now, there's a lot to be said. because there's hishtadlus, which we have to understand properly, because it does not mean that Hashem only wants to do 90% of the work. Even I'm frum, so I'll ascribe 90% to Hashem, and I'll do my hishtadlus, that's another 10%. That's wrong. Hashem is always doing 100% of the work. Hashem is, it's always just Hashem. So why should I bother doing hishtadlus? Why should I get up in the morning and go to work if I could just stay in bed? And if Hashem wants me to have money, I'll have it. And if He doesn't, I won't. So the Chaim Halevi will ask that question. It's a very, very good question. And the question is based on the idea that we're accomplishing nothing with our hishtadlus. Parenthetically, the Chaim Halevi never uses the word hishtadlus, but he uses a much better word in line for how he presents the concept, but we'll use it because it's become a very familiar word, and that's what we use all the time. So I'll use it also. The question is based on the premise that hishtadlus does nothing. So then, if it does nothing, why should I do anything? Right? Very good question. And his answer is, because Hashem wants us to, and he says why Hashem wants us to. Now that transforms our whole life also, because that means the hishtadlus we do is a mitzvah. It's, I'm carrying out the will of Hashem. I'm not doing it because or else I won't get the result. I'm doing it because Hashem demands that I do it. The Chaim Halevi rationally explains why Hashem set up the world that hishtadlus is something people should do, but it's an illusion, he says. It's an illusion. It's not really doing anything. You're just going through the motions. And that's transformative, because a little less hishtadlus, a little more hishtadlus, we go crazy, push the envelope. Maybe it's time to relax and say, listen, Hashem's going to decide. A person, I want to describe a certain phenomena that I think you will all admit that it's true. But you don't have to tell me it's true. You just, if I say to someone, let's say I take someone, a laboratory experiment, I say, okay, I don't want you to go to work. I want you to sit back and you can daven, and Hashem will send you money if that's in the game, if that's in the cards, if that's his gzeira, and he won't send you if it's not, and he'll send you as much as he wants to send you, because it doesn't really matter if you go to work or not. So forget it, just okay, let's say I let a day go by, and then I go to him, oh, I made such a toast, I'm terribly sorry, I'm scuffically incorrect, I just learned the next chapter in Chavis HaLovus, I'm sorry. And there's an obligation to do hishtadlus. Everything I said is still true, but there's an obligation. I tell you that 99.9% of people will go, whew, Baruch Hashem. A person who really believes that hishtadlus is what it is will go, ach, why do I have to go to work? Ach, why? I wish that wasn't true. But our attitude really is to say, okay, I'll be talking. You know, I decided, you go to your rabbi or your mentor or your role model, and they say, you know, I decided it's hishtadlus, go ask that person to put in a good word for you. That's hishtadlus. Everybody's reaction is, when our reaction should be, ach, now what do I have to bother doing that for? I wish the Rav didn't tell me it was a shtadlus. Then I wouldn't have to bother doing it. Because Hashem's going to get me the result anyway. But now I have to do that. Darn it. Ach. But we don't. We all react with a sigh, with an inner sigh of, that's my premise. We react with an inner sigh of relief about Hashem. Because we don't, we think Hashem needs a helping hand. And I do have to call a shatchin, and I do have to apply for a job, and I do have to go to work, and I do have to do this, and Baruch Hashem, because I don't know this business with Hashem. I don't know if I can handle that. Anyway, getting back, what are we learning after this? I just finished the whole Shaar B'Tochen. I just said over the whole Shaar B'Tochen. There's nothing left to learn. Right. What's next? The definition of B'Tochen that we're going to use is to rely on Hashem.
actively, because we're always relying on something. If it's as simple as going to the refrigerator to get milk, we're relying that the electric company is providing electricity, right? And we're relying on the manufacturer of the refrigerator that it's still working. And we're relying on Tnuva that the milk is not spoiled and it's going to stay in the refrigerator. It's missing the point. You're relying on Hashem, and you have to work on that. I'm relying on Hashem. Now, how does Hashem function in the world we occupy today, 2013? He works through the channels of Tnuva and of the electric company and of the refrigerator manufacturer. He wills that all to be working so that I can end up with fresh milk, not sour. Well, not fresh. That would be a nice already. But not sour milk. But it's Hashem. So I'm relying on Hashem. I'm not relying on my protection. I'm not relying on my uncle. I'm not relying on the traffic light. I'm not relying on the bus driver. I'm relying on Hashem to make all these things work so that the result will result. So it's relying on Hashem as an active verb. We train ourselves to actively rely on Hashem. That's the best definition I have. And think about it, it's reliance, and it's not a passive reliance, but active. Because we're always relying on something, and we have to overcome that and realize that the true object, the true and only object of our reliance is Hashem. In fact, he will say in Paragimel that if you rely on Hashem and the doctor, if you rely on Hashem and on the doctor, he uses a very harsh word, you're not going to like to hear it. He uses the word shituf. Shituf is not a nice word. If you believe in Hashem Echad, you know that Shituf is a very big no-no. It's a contradiction to Hashem Echad. And the Chagavodis uses that word. And he says, because you can't rely on two things 100% each. Forget about that the reliance on the other thing is a waste of time, because they have no independent power. But he says, the degree to which you rely on the doctor, so your reliance on Hashem is not 100%. It's 90%, because you have plan B. Either Hashem will help you, and plan B, I have a very good doctor. We may not verbalize it that way, but that's how we feel. And we're relieved when we get the best doctor. We feel a sense of, we're relieved. Because, okay, we'll talk about it as we learn it. You had a question?
Yes, please.
Oh no, I don't know how to do this. Okay.
So to help everyone to understand it more, is it that we should look upon life as going through the motions? In other words, the outcomes, you understand what that means.
I'm not sure, because certainly sometimes just like when a person does an Avera, I mean, it's going through the motions in the sense of who is really producing the result that I want. Now, your actions matter. If you do an Avera, so the result of your actions might be negative, not positive.
But in
terms of Hishtadlus and Bitachon, in terms of what's really creating the result, it's all Hashem. We might affect the result by not acting properly, by doing an Avera, or in the Chavis Halvodos' world, not doing enough Ishtadlus. Because in the Chavis Halvodos' world, that's an Avera. It's an Avera. It's not that you're not doing it so you're going to fail because you didn't muster up enough strength, but because it's like when you do an Avera, so you have consequences. So in the Chavis Halvodos' world, and really we'll be learning about this later, this is the whole Shar. We have a whole Shar to learn. Hishtadlus is like, think of it as a mitzvah. And that's all it is. It's only Ratzon Hashem. That's the only reason we do it. We're going through the motions, but we're not just going through motions. We're going through the motions as a fulfillment of the will of Hashem. And he describes why it's the will of Hashem. But that means if you don't do it, you may, you very possibly will have to suffer the consequences of not doing the will of Hashem. But the line of Ishtadlus is not a clear line. It's not like, Shkia, I can't do Malacha anymore. Right, Halavai, there would be such a line. It's always a work in progress. Wait, I'm sorry, but...
Yeah.
So, just in terms of when you're thinking Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and let's say you're also, you know, thinking your Rav.
Thanking? Did you say thanking?
Right.
Yeah, thanking is a different story. Because the Chavis HaLavos will explain that the Torah and Derech Eretz demands Hakaras HaTov.
Right.
And the reason we have Hakaras HaTov is because if Hashem chose that channel,
okay,
to channel us what we have, so we are makir, because it's called in the Gemara's phrasing, Megalgalin Schus Al Yidei Zakai, Hashem uses worthy people to channel good things to us. So if my boss gives me a paycheck, so Hashem used him to give me parnasa, so I acknowledge that he was a worthy shliach.
Okay.
Now you could say to him, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, but at least in your mind, you should be thinking, thank you Hashem for using him as the shliach. Yeah. Well, that's a loaded question. Certainly we believe that everything is from Hashem, and we believe that everything is deserved. We don't know why things happen. The horrible result might be a wonderful, wonderful thing that you won't find out for 2 years. I got fired from a job in Eish HaTorah, and I thought it was a horrible thing. And then I became Rav of a shul, which is also a little... Okay. Right, so the Chavis HaLavos, no, there could be many explanations for what we call horrible. The first step is, we call it horrible, but Hashem only does Tov. So it could be as easy as, I missed the plane and it crashed. That's like easy, because I found out an hour later. It could be a person became a paraplegic, did I pronounce the word correctly? And it brings out, he uses his brain more than he ever would have used it before, and he says, thank you Hashem, I'm using my brain. A person can have a difficult life. People get divorced, people don't have children, people don't get married, all sorts of things. We believe firmly that there, every neshama in the world has its own purpose. Hashem doesn't create, you know, extras, like in a movie set there's extras. Hashem has no extras. Everybody is necessary for the world to reach the goal that Hashem has in mind for it. Yes, some people have more difficult lives because they have more challenges and they have to work out their midos more. It might be a nisayon. There's a lot of explanations for why horrible things happen to people. Nobody should read the Apicurus' book called Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. Right, it's pure Apicursus. It's like usher to read that book. I'll be then. Did I read it? Well, let's just say that the Gemara allows, just as a concept, the Gemara allows a Sanhedrin to study Avodah Zarah so that they know what's out there. But certainly, it's usher for a layman to satisfy curiosity and read such a book. It's usher, yeah.
Taking the reverse of what you just said, I'm thinking of a case where a very fine yeshiva booker on a foggy day ended up killing one person from our community. Does that mean he becomes an unworthy person who was...
No, Chas v'Shalom.
Because it was the channel for the... Hashem gives the shlichus to somebody who's...
You're right. Right. But that's... There are many... Ki gavu shamayim me'oretz, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, ken gavu machshavos saimi machshavos eichem v'darchechem midrachoi. Hashem has myriad cheshbonos. We don't know why Hashem does things. We're not privy to them. Yes. So, you know, let's say you go, so the Rav says, look, I don't know why this happened to you. I don't know if you were negligent a little or not. I don't know. Let's assume you're totally not negligent. Totally. It was like an accident. So why did Hashem use you as the instrument for this to happen? Well, I say, we don't really know why, but first of all, there's a Gemara, Megalgalin, Schus Al Yedei Zakei, V'chov Al Yedei Chayev. So, and it is brought down in Hilchos Yom Kippur, in the Mishnah Brura,
that if this happens to someone, they have to do tshuva, they have to be choker about themselves, they have to make a cheshbon hanefesh beyond what they normally have to do, because indeed, yeah. Now, it could be the person deserved misa, not it could be, the person deserved misa, it could be, first of all, he deserved misa. It could be it was his time to be nostalgic from the world, it just happened in this way, rather than him getting a heart attack. Right? Good, so we don't really know. And chas v'shalom for another person, me, let's say, to condemn that person because, ooh, you are probably a bad person, right? Because we don't know Hashem is. He could have been doing a mitzvah because the person was mechuyev misa because he really ate on Yom Kippur, and we don't know that. We don't know. We don't know what goes on in people's lives. Could be he was mechuyev misa because he was malbim pnei chaveh or barabim. You know? These things are not jokes. The Gemara, maybe he was malbim pnei chaveh or barabim, and Hashem chose me as the instrument to give him his just desserts. And I'm like the Sanhedrin that would kill someone if they were Mechal Shabbos. So the person has to make a Cheshbon HaNefesh and be Mekabel a certain form of tshuva, which is written. These things are halachic. It's brought down in Noida Behuda, has a very long tshuva. Mishneh Berurah brings down some of them in Hilchos Yom Kippur. What a person in that situation to do should do. But that's personal. For someone else to say, I know why Hashem did something, is presumptuous and wrong. Okay, so we're going to get to practice. Now, we should practice this in simple things before we get to the bumps in life. As you're crossing the street, you're going to get the milk. I'm relying on Hashem that the milk is there. Because Hashem is the one who is enabling the truck to work and the person to put together the truck and the cow to eat grass and to perform the miracle of transforming grass into milk. I don't think the scientists figured out yet how to put in grass and get out milk. I don't think there's such a machine, but we have such a machine. It's called a cow. Actually, it's called every female, every person eats food and milk is produced. It's like amazing. But that's Shara Bechina stuff. Okay, but I'm relying on Hashem. Everything I'm relying on Hashem that I can. If I would think about it, why am I able to complete this sentence? Because my mind and my brain and I memorized and I thought and I learned Shari B'Tochen a few times before, so I'm able to be so brilliantly eloquent. No. I'm relying on Hashem. And if you want to think starkly, and it hurts to think like that, people get strokes in the middle of a sentence. You know? Just because I'm starting the sentence doesn't mean I will be able to complete it. Hashem is holding my hand. You see, that's not a good way to say it. Hashem is enabling me, not just holding my hand. You see it? I'm a big shot, and look how I talk. Hashem is enabling me to finish my sentence. He's not just holding my hand, allowing me to. He is enabling me to. He's enabling all the millions of electrical impulses from my brain to my muscles to my nervous system to my memory. You know, to say a sentence requires memory. We learned in Shara Bechina about memory, how a person, Nebuch, you see people who lost their memory, they'll say the same sentence over and over and over. They forgot that they said it already. So everything is Hashem. Okay, so that's, it's an important definition. It won't be defined in the Sefer. Azanish talks a lot about it. Other Sfarim, there's a Sefer written by somebody in Muncie, just wrote a Sefer, Igeres HaBitachon, like a pamphlet-sized type Sefer, like 150 pages, a beautiful Sefer. And there's all sorts of vinyonim, can I expect the result if I have Bitachon, etc., etc., etc. We're going to learn all these things as we go through the Shar. But I didn't want a situation where we spend a couple weeks and months learning Shar HaBitachon, and then someone says, what does Bitachon mean? So now, again, to sum it up, it means to rely on Hashem, but to rely as an... I don't have a better way of saying it. Maybe one day I'll think of one. Bezos Hashem. To rely on Hashem as an active verb, not as a passive verb. I'm relying on Hashem that I can cross the street, I can buy the milk, I can do this, I can do that, that this will happen, that that will happen. No matter how many links there are in the chain of Teva or Hishtadlus, but I'm and we always rely on something. That's what the Chavis HaLavas hits us in the face with. We're always relying on something. We don't just do things. Anything we do that I have to wake up and I have to cross the street and I have to. I'm relying on my nervous system. I'm relying on the bank. I'm relying on everything. No. It's not. I have to train myself. I'm relying on Hashem to make it all happen. And now the Chavis Alovas has a long psicha in Shar HaBitachon. And the psicha is an advertisement to whet your appetite. I want to develop bitachon. He goes through all, he says, we learned today that it's the most important ingredient that will enable us to serve Hashem, because it has so many benefits, necessary, essential benefits, both in Olam Haba and in Olam Hazeh, spiritual benefits and physical benefits. It will win you friends. It will make you successful. It will make the grass go greener on your lawn. It will make you pretty. It will get you that skirt that you always wanted to buy and you couldn't afford it. It'll make you wildly successful in Gashmius. He has a whole list of ways it will make you successful in Gashmius and in Ruchnius. And he spends the rest of the Psicha going through the list of benefits. It's a little funny, because that's why I wanted to define it first. Because a person opening Chavis Halavos and reading it, benefit. What is bitachon? You know? And even when he starts Shara Bitachon, he never defines it. Shara Bitachon is a how-to manual, how to develop bitachon. And just like the whole Sefer Chavis Halavos is very structured, as I said, Yichud, Bechina, Avodas Elokim, Bitachon, Yichud Hamaiseh, Kniya, very structured. Shar HaBitachon itself, as every Shar, but I'm talking now about Shar HaBitachon, very, very structured. Chapter 1, chapter 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He has 7 chapters, and it's a how-to manual, how to develop Bitachon in your life. But he spends the whole Psicha saying how wonderful it is, and how many benefits it has. Okay, maybe we should just skip the Psicha. No, Chavis HaLovos felt, it's not easy, it's an avoda, it goes against the grain of daily life, because we see causes and effects, we look at the world and this is happening because it is, the war broke out because it is, the economy went down because of that, stocks went up because of that, I am miserable because of that, my child, everything, and we're missing out on the real cause of everything that happens in the world. So it's an avoda, and therefore he spends the whole psicha as an advertisement. The psicha is an advertisement for bitachon. So you say, what do you have to advertise for? Let him have bitachon. So there's an answer. I don't know if it's a question, but there's an answer. And the answer is that one of the things we'll be learning about, that when it comes to ruchnius, forget bitachon. Ruchnius is in your ballpark. You don't say, okay, Hashem will work things out that I could get to shul. Or Hashem will work things out that I will be able to do kibbutz aim. That's true in a certain sense. But when it comes down to it, bechira, it's an amazing gift from Hashem. This we have to thank Hashem. You have bechira, and bechina is in our ballpark. And he says, don't start coming to me with bitachon when it comes to ruchnius. Mm-hmm. Ruchnius is. Someone said to me, I don't know if she wants her name mentioned publicly, right? Someone said to me, what are you making so much ads for and spending so much money to advertise Chavis HaLovos? Have bitachon. People will come, take out one ad. Someone wrote me an email. Don't you feel funny? Like, have bitachon! And it's plastered all over. So I said, you didn't learn Chavis HaLovos, you have to come to the class. In Ruchnius, you don't have bitachon. Ruchnius is your province. Ruchnius is in your ballpark, and you have to do it. Hashem says, "This, my friend, is up to you."